Hallelujah. Well, I have a word for you. Psalm 37, I feel very strongly it's a word for today. My title, Stay Focused. Stay Focused. You know, when you're trying to do something and there's a lot of noise or distraction or danger or things going on, it's very easy to be distracted and lose sight of that which you would need to do, which is a very dangerous thing, because in some cases you can get hurt. I remember many times driving through snowstorms. It's very hard to see the road. Sometimes the road's covered, you can't even see it, but hard to see to the road through all the snow. And that's a very tense time. You can tend to put your fingerprints on a steering wheel, gripping it real hard. But you have to stay focused. Or times driving through fog, when all you can see is a line on the side of the road. And you get really nervous when there's no more line to see. But there's so many things in life where if we're in the military and in a battle, there's bullets flying around, you have to focus to do your job lest you get killed. There's many things in life that we have to stay focused on what we're doing. And some jobs have a lot of things where you could be distracted, but we need to get our attention right on it. And there is a discipline of the mind relative to that, where you continue to stay fixed on that which you need to think, that which you need to do, and block the other things out. Now, Psalm 37 is a psalm that speaks to that. We are living in the last of the last days. The spirit of Antichrist is ramping up his work. That's been happening. But what we've gone through in the last couple months, I just want to clearly state again, it is the work of the spirit of Antichrist. And you have these reactions in people who are not drawing on a spirit of God, predominantly a spirit of fear. And I had shared a few years ago, God had shown me there'd be waves of the spirit of fear based on three things, unknown diseases, which is present, terrorism, and financial collapse or hardship. And we have to understand that fear is of the enemy, the Antichrist spirit, and he's using it to do certain things he wasn't able to do otherwise. The fear of terrorism was used, even going back as far as 2011, to rob us of civil liberties and to justify the government spying on its citizens. You may or may not have made that connection, but it was used for that point. I mean, now, if someone wants to hear me and your cell phone's on you in here and they know you're here, of course, they can know you here because GPS track you, but they can hear what you're saying. And there are people they spy upon. I was with one brother once who had shared with me. It happened while I was with them. You could hear there was a cutting in on the phone. It was turned off. And there was somebody listening. Now, that's one if you have a funny sense of humor. You have something like some kind of siren and just shoot it right into that phone. And but anyway, yeah, there's times in this particular brother, whether it was Russian or whether it was U.S., we weren't even really sure. They can just tap in. I've already been talking. Once I was talking with Shane and my phone was beside me and I was talking at one point about when we had high school before, because we were talking about things ahead with school and that, and how I had a careers class. And I was talking about that a little bit. And in less than a day, I'm getting emails to teach a course on careers out of college, like to apply for a job. I never heard of this group. I never heard of the college. I never, you know, talked to anybody. So we understand that that terrorist deal is to justify spying. And this fear deal is to take away other liberties that we have And the disappointing thing to me is that the other pastors, I put it on them, don't have the courage to stand up and say, hey, listen, buddy, our Constitution says we can worship. You don't have a right to tell me I can't. If you want to take it further, you do what you think you've got to do, but I'm going to do what I think I have to do. And we are being robbed of civil liberties even now to gather. When the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says we have a right to gather and to practice our religion and protest and anything else, as well as the Pennsylvania Constitution says that no human authority shall make any law to prohibit that. Okay, so I'm just saying, Antichrist spirit's working. We have to understand that. There are many in the world who try to analyze things and might be good at analyzing politics or finances or whatever else. But to understand what's going on, we have to believe the Bible and look at it in the light of Bible prophecy to understand what's going on. So it's a work of the enemy. We're in the last days. The good news, God has promises to us, his people. He has a work to do. The gospel has to go throughout the whole world before the end has come. And the Antichrist spirit cannot release all that he's doing to bring total control. I'm just referring to 2 Thessalonians 2 right now. Until he who hinders is taken out of the way, and that's the church. That's us, if we stand up. Now, some people are no problem for the devil because they'll just salute, bow their knee, and keep their mouth shut. But the word of God has power. The name of Jesus has power. And we need to not hold back speaking his word, speaking his name, declaring the work of Jesus Christ and his body and his blood. And as long as the body's doing that and praying the word of God and praising the Lord and speaking his word, Antichrist cannot completely do everything he wants to do. We will be taken out of the way. Jesus is going to take us up with him. That doesn't mean we won't go through some things in the meantime, though. It's a very naive, self-centered thought to think, well, we shouldn't go through anything where we've had hundreds of millions persecuted. And even today in places like China, North Korea and the Middle East, still brutal persecution to anyone who will speak of the name of Jesus Christ. So those things will all be happening, but we need not fear. Nor should we be distracted by the evil going on around us, but we need to be focused first on the Lord himself and then on what he would have us to do. So Psalm 37 speaks of this, and we have to look at the entirety of it. There's a mention about 18 or 20 times, different verses, speaks of the evildoers. And again, those who are behind this type of control are yielded, whether they know it or not. Some don't know they are. But they're yielding to the spirit of Antichrist and his work. You know, you can listen to a devil, and you don't necessarily want to or not planning on it, but you can be listening to demons. There are a lot of people that listen to demons. That's why it's seen in the crazy stuff that they do. But even some believers listen to devils who eventually will take them off away from God, his word, his people, and destroy them. We need to be certain and assured in our heart we're listening to God and paying attention to his word. Well, verse 1 says, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, this type of statement's made throughout the psalm. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by those who are operating in wickedness or evil. They're out there, and they're becoming more and more bold to try to do their thing. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. You know, people can enter into the exercise of evil on the earth in their lifetime. And there may or may not be justice on the earth, but there will be justice after this life. All will stand before the Lord. And we need to release that to the Lord and not take the attitude of, well, I'm going to execute justice, or vengeance is mine. Romans says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He didn't say vengeance is yours. Verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, there's a few places in a psalm where it talks like this, we will be fed. Now, one of the basic fears people have, or the strongest work of the flesh, is self-preservation. And if people fear they won't have any food, then you can see the wheels come off the wagon. I mean, we get a little foretaste of that when there's a threat and no toilet paper. But if there's no food, you're going to see the wheels come off. It's just be a matter of time. Satan understands that. And will keep pushing things further and further. You see, to cause famine for food, what that will allow is to justify a police state or a military rule. Because when you push it to that degree, people in their fear will resort to things like rioting and looting and armed robbery. Now, not everyone's going to do that. You wouldn't do that, of course, but there'll be many people who would do that. And the devil knows and understands full well that when people come to that place, then that justifies taking away your Second Amendment and saying we need military on the streets, and food will only be distributed by military, and we're going to come take your gun. And there's a lot of people I've heard say over the years, well, that's where I draw the line. They come take my gun, then, you know, I'm going to fight and all this and that and the other. And albeit, I'm sure there are some rednecks who their religion is guns that maybe would do that. But only in that case. I remember a pastor telling me that once, and I said, I don't think so. I said, when they come to say, you're taking this chip and you can't buy or sell without it, and we're going to take all your money, you going to fight then? Because a lot of people won't, because money rules the day for them. I used to work for a guy, guns were his religion, and it was another Christian. Monday mornings, we'd talk about church. And we didn't have to, like, preach or witness to him, because we were on a wall doing masonry work. We talked to each other, and he has to hear us. And he let it go for about a half hour, an hour. And they start mocking us. Hallelujah, bro. Hallelujah, bro. Yeah, just because we knew that was time to shut up then. Because he might snap. But we were talking to each other. We weren't talking to him. And then we say, well, how was your church yesterday? Meaning the gun club. Because that's where he went every Sunday. And his trust was in guns. Guns were going to protect him. I believe in guns. Okay, I don't have a problem with guns. But the thing is, you can't trust in guns, you can't trust in money, you can't trust in your own hands. Your trust needs to be in God. And the irony was, he died by a gun. Hunting, his own son accidentally shot him. And it's horrible. It's horrible. But the thing is, if you're going to put your trust in something like that, that could be where things end up. And that's really what he was saying to Peter. You know, Peter's wanting to take up swords at first, cuts a guy's ear off. Jesus sticks it back on and heals him. And he's basically saying, if you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Well, the fear, when you have no food, then you'll see crazy, crazy. And then they can justify taking away the rest of the liberties we would have. I don't think that's what's going down this go-round. The devil understands to condition people and do it in increments. So it's an increment here. And it'll be something else again later. Trust in the Lord. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. Now, we have to come to a place where we fix our eyes. We are focused on the word of God and the promises of God. We will proactively and aggressively speak faith or exercise our trust in the Lord, where out of that then we are established in our faith, and whenever anything comes along that would be evil or evil intended, the word's in our heart and we are well prepared for the moment. Verse 4, 5, these two verses are very, very special to me. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him, to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. Now that what this means, find your pleasure in the Lord and he will place, the word give in the Greek can have three different meanings. I think it's the word Nathan, if I remember correct. One is to like give as in exchange. Here, take this. Another is to place something, and as another is to make or constitute it. Now, when it says to that he's making or constituting the stars into heaven, that's the third application. There are places where something's given to someone, but then sometimes it's placing something. And to me, you know, one of the principles of Bible interpretations, you interpret scriptures in light of other scriptures. God does not just give you whatever you want. That would be very dangerous. You know, people dream of, you know, the Aladdin's lamp, rub it, and a genie pops out, and ask whatever you want, sir. That's not our God. That's some fabrication of man. But rather, what it's saying is when you find your pleasure in him, he'll place desires in you. His desires. He's going to place in your heart. A lot of the motivation in serving the Lord and that which we would do for him, it needs to come this way where as we found pleasure in him, then he begins placing his desire for our life or our destiny or the things we would do. He begins to birth that inside of you like a child being birthed within a woman. He begins to birth that in us. And for many, the sense of the call of God comes this way. This is how it was for me. Wasn't a voice from heaven. Wasn't an open vision. There's been visions. But it was this way. That as I was just finding my pleasure in him. I was so grateful he saved me. God, I just love you. I just want to serve you. And just eagerly doing whatever would be pleasing to him. And what began to happen, he began to put things on the inside of my heart. And that becomes the destiny for your heart. Commit your way or the journey. In the Hebrew, it's a word, derek, journey, path, way. I was speaking of that a little bit in the Bible study, Tom, because one of the verses were relevant to that. Commit your journey to the Lord and trust in him. Walk by faith. And he'll bring it to pass. So he puts a desire in you as your pleasures in him. Things begin to grow on the inside of you. Visionary things. Desires. And then there comes the commitment to the journey. Now, later on in the psalm, at verse 23, says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord or established by the Lord. And he delights in his way, or I believe it should read this way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and as he delights in his way, as you delight in him. Now, this corresponds then to verse 4. As you're delighting in him, or your pleasures just in knowing him, serving him, he begins to not only place a sense of destiny or desires in you, but then he also establishes the steps. Because the way you go on towards the end, what he would have for the very end of your life is step by step or leg of the path, leg of the journey by leg of the journey. And the Lord wants to establish that within us. Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's goings are of the Lord. And the word goings is the same word put in the English steps. A man's steps are of the Lord. And he, so how can a man understand his way? If the Lord's ordering the steps, If he takes you step by step, then you cannot reason that in your mind or plan it all out. And many people try to plan their life out and reason it so they don't have to trust the Lord. If you think you can know all the future, then you can figure out what to do and try by your own ability to make it happen. I remember coming to understand that years ago, and I saw early in my Christian walk, there were many who were trying to figure out Bible prophecy. And I found most of the ones who delved into that were of the fundamentalist Baptist type. And I don't mean that in any way begrudging. I'm going to say it matter-of-factly. And I came to realize they were trying to figure out the future and would even obsess about it because they hadn't really learned how to live by faith in the moment and hear from the Holy Ghost and just walk with Him. Because there are a lot of things you're not going to figure out. A lot of things you're not going to know about the future, and God's merciful to withhold that information. Had I known all the things I would have stepped into, I surely would have gone into the wilderness and live as a hermit. But He takes us step by step, and each step's a step of faith, and you get stronger and stronger and stronger as you continue to go forward. A lot of people, they want to know all the future. And then they can decide, well, will I go that way or I won't go that way? Should I go live in a cave or what should I do? God wants us to trust Him, live by faith, day by day, moment by moment. And there are times, my wife and I were just talking last night, talking about some of this, and you know, what's going on and the evil and stuff like that. And there's some things I said to her, I don't know with certain things. I don't know. Don't be afraid to say you don't know. I don't know. But we just need to trust the Lord. When we get there, we'll find out. When we get there, I'm trusting God will show me what to do. You're not going to know everything ahead. Again, the motivation of that many times is actually fear and living from the mind standpoint that you're going to figure everything out. You're going to plan everything out so nothing goes wrong. Now, I love planning things. I'm not saying planning's wrong. Well, planning's not wrong. But you can't plan your life. I mean, if you're going to have a dinner, you need to make plans and make sure you buy the food and all the rest. You have to plan for something like that. There's an event you're going to do. But you don't know what all is before you with your life, so you can't plan it all out. People pay a lot of money to try to plan their life out for them. But it's kind of foolish when you think about it. You're going to pay someone to plan your life for you when you don't know what it is you need to do. How do they know what it is to do? You see, it comes back to faith. I need to trust the Lord. I'll live for Him, obey Him, trust Him. He will take care of me, and He will lead me in the journey. As we delight in Him, He leads us in the journey. Again, Proverbs 20:24, I didn't finish with that verse, where if the Lord's directing your steps, how are you going to understand the way? I find it takes all of my focus on what's before me. Stay focused on the step I have to take. Now, the enemy, if he can make a lot of noise, can distract you off what you already knew God said. We always need a sense of awareness. Lord, this is what you've spoken to me. This is the step you've told me to take. I am walking this out. And when I come to the end of it, you'll show me the next thing. We're talking about how to live your life, how to walk through this life. So now we have all this release of evil, especially a spirit of fear around us. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. So let's go back up here. Verse 4 and 5, he says, commit your way to Him. Commit the journey to Him. If we're holding on to, I'm going to figure it out. I'll decide how I'm going to do life, what I'm going to do and all that. Then it's not fully committed to Him. Commitment, you completely release something as you're stepping out. My favorite way of illustrating this, my younger son, Jesse, decides at the age of 18. He's going to conquer a spirit of fear in his life. One of the fears of fear of heights. So he decides, I'm going skydiving. So over in Lancaster, you can pay. And you know, they'll hook you up with the parachute. Someone will take you up. And 10,000 feet. And if you want to go 15,000 feet, it's like another $50. So he's determined he's going to conquer his fear. Let's go 15,000 feet. Now, the first time you're strapped to somebody else that's an instructor, in case you like freak out and you forget to pull the ripcord. So anyway, he does that, conquers that fear. Hats off to you, son. He said, Dad, it was great. You should do that with me. It was really awesome. So I don't have a fear of heights. I have a fear of somebody packing that parachute down. Somebody incompetent, or they were distracted in the moment and they didn't have that thing packed up right. He was like, no, I don't need to do that. You do it again, I'll watch it on video. But as long as he's in the airplane, he's not committed. But once he jumped out, he was committed. There was no going back. You're going down. That parachute better work. Commitment. That's commitment. And sometimes people won't commit at all to the Lord's way, but still want to hear his voice and be led by the Spirit. Doesn't work like that. You find your pleasures in him, not in this world. And then as he shows you steps to take, there's always like a first step. You commit everything into that. And when we learn to live like that, then you can walk with an expectation. He will show me the next step when I need to know. Until then, I'm not worrying about it. I'm going to stay focused on what I need to do today. Now, I'm just going to say that making mention, there was a particular medical field doctor who shared about with these vaccines they want to push. And I knew as soon as they did this virus thing, it's all about the vaccine mandated. That's what they want. But he explained how they microchip you through the vaccine. Now, whether that'll be this round or not, I don't know. But that's the technology, how they'll do it. Well, out of fear, oh, my God, we might get a virus. Oh, yeah. Vaccine, vaccinate me, vaccinate me. There you are. Chip the population of the world. The thing I marvel at, they got the whole world to shut down. That should tell us something about the degree of influence Spirit of Antichrist has gained over the nations. And it's using a spirit of fear. Okay. Well, trust in the Lord. He'll bring these visionary things to pass, or he'll take you to the end of the journey. Sometimes we don't really have any idea what that next step should be. We can't reason it all out. But we look to him to show us that next step. The Holy Spirit will guide us in truth. He'll guide us in the word of God. The children of Israel are an example of about everything to us. But in chapter 13, verse 17, it says he didn't lead them when he brought them out of Egypt to go to the promised land. He didn't lead them by way of the way of the Philistines, which would have been just a few days' journey. He led them through the wilderness because it said, lest when they saw like the giants in the land, they want to turn back and go back to Egypt. Well, they ended up wanting to do that anyway because they didn't believe God's word. But God didn't lead them the easier way. Sometimes as the Spirit of God leads us, it's not an easy path. Sometimes there's things he'd have you do. You know he told you to do this. And you think, why am I doing this? There are sometimes the way the Lord leads you might actually bring you into some great problem that needs solved. Like the Apostle Paul had a vision of the Lord, saw the man of Macedonia praying. This is Acts 16, saying, come over and helps us. He obeys the Lord, but ends up getting beat and put in prison. Now, he could have been in there thinking, did I hear from God? Well, bad things should never happen to a nice guy like me. Bad things do happen. But God delivered him. If you encounter something like that, we should still hold fast for God to deliver us out of it. There are times evil comes on a nation and everyone pays a price in a sense. There's evil upon our nation now through wicked people that are in places of authority, and we're all paying for it to a certain extent. Don and I don't like wearing masks going into the grocery store. But we have to do it. I mean, unless we want to have a fight with somebody in there. She's telling me the other day, pulling a mask down. People start, getting all worked up in fear. It's like, really? If you want to wear a mask here, I don't care. I'm not busting on that. I'm just saying, is there really a reason? Do you know that? Or is it just, you know, fear? You just want to be able to get your groceries. Well, sometimes there's some things we're going to encounter. And it's not even meaning you're in sin. It could be somebody else's. And sometimes God could have someone blaze a path and there'll be persecution because there's devils there controlling people and try to bring forth persecution. Well, he goes on and he says, verse 7, don't fret because of those who bring wicked devices to pass or they prosper in a way. You know, and there's people that are evil, make money off their evil. Don't think about them. Don't envy them. Don't get worked up about it. Stay fixed and focused on what did God tell you to do. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. This is very important because if you allow anger in your heart because of the evil around us, then you're going to do something you're probably going to regret. You could get yourself in trouble because you allowed anger. And it's not like, you see, you have to understand in the rule of law, it's not like little kids. Well, he did that first. Yeah, little kids do. They think if they can blame the other one, then they're scot-free. Yeah, but you hit him. Yeah, but she called me a name. Why'd you call him a name? Because he kicked me in the shins. And he goes back and forth. That's not going to work for us, okay? We can't let that kind of thinking. We have to have victory over the anger and wrath. And I'm not saying there's no temptation to that, but we have to be able to put that down. Don't fret yourself in any wise to do evil, or don't let that cause you to do evil. Evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now, there are five mentions, beginning at verse 9, of us inheriting the earth. The inheritance for Israel was physical, a physical land, and all the blessing that came with it. For us, our inheritance as believers is spiritual. Ephesians 1:3 says we are blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The old covenant brought all physical blessing. The new covenant brings that plus all spiritual blessing. Because sin's been taken away, we're given the gift of the righteousness and the gift of the Holy Spirit who enables us to partake all of the kingdom of heaven. Or the kingdom of God. It's different words used there. So inheritance. And what I want to really bring to us in impartation, with the evil going on, don't lose sight of what God wants you to do, the step in life you're in presently, and the inheritance that God has for you. By distraction, we can just let things go and not partake of what God has for us. Devil's a master of distraction. And if he can stir your emotions into it, like anger and wrath, envy, fear, then you're very easily manipulated. You know, one of the foundations, and I read this in Russia as it is, it's a book written while it was still communist, of a guy who came out, that envy and fear were the underpinnings of communism. And this guy explained all this. So today, the enemy wants to bring that in. And you had your Occupy Wall Street. Oh, you have a politician who is a billionaire. They must be evil. I liked how President Trump did. He didn't make any bones about it. He said, I'm a billionaire. I'm probably worth about $10 billion or whatever. I don't know if he even really knows how much he's worth. But you know, he's saying that. It's like that, all that says for him is I was successful. As a businessman in a world, that will account for something. But under the cloud of sin, people would envy someone and hate them because they have more. So again, Satan understands to control people, things like envy, fear, anger and wrath, jealousies. These emotions are stirred that completely preoccupy someone and they're not really fixed on what they should be. The good news, again, is God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he has a provision for you or an inheritance. And it's enough for us just to stay fixed on that. Now, in saying that, we shouldn't be ignorant of what's going on. You need to be informed. You need to know what's going on. But we need to be all the more focused on what does God say to us about our life in the midst of all this. Well, verse 9, they that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. I'll come back to that statement later. Another verse about the wicked be cut off. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek, and that's to be humble. It's another word for humble. Being humble before the Lord to give him his place. He's Lord, not us. We let him have his place. We'll take our place. And in just humbling ourselves, believing him, believing his word, yielding to obey him, we'll partake the inheritance. And we'll have pleasure in the abundance of peace. Now, one of the blessings that Israel would have is that God would set them at peace in the midst of their enemies. And you had, like say, with David's life, he becomes king. He fights a few fights, kills some Philistines and some others. And now there's peace in the land. Same with Solomon. You have to conquer your enemy to have peace. Those that are humble and will let the Lord be the Lord will see victory over their enemies and have a pleasure in the abundance of peace. In other words, we don't have to fret about any virus. Because God is who he is. He revealed himself as deliverance, protection, healing. So why should we be concerned about that as an enemy? Yeah, but it could kill us. Well, sure, so can a lot of things. Death's around us all the time. We need to be established in our faith and looking to Jesus to be Lord of our lives, and that his word will come to pass in our life, and we're just going to trust him. Now, when he shows you to do something, you do that. He goes on and says how the wicked plot against the just. The Lord will laugh at them. The Lord will laugh at him. Now, last week I was sharing from Psalm 2, where it says about the heathen raging and imagining a vain thing, and how the enemy would want to break the cords or that which would bind the people of God together, come against the Lord as anointed, and break the cords that would bind us or tie us together, the unity of the Spirit. If we're separated, the power of God is diminished in a believer's life. When persecution came against Peter and John, Acts 4, they went back to the brethren and began to pray and believe God, and they quoted that Psalm 2. So I'm just referencing that here again. It's very applicable to today. The thing with believers being dispersed and not allowed to meet is very much of Satan. I don't care how anybody wants to wrap it up or justify it. That is of the devil. And Scripture shows it. So to break our band of unity, to keep us from gathering, because the power of God is multiplied when believers gather in his name and pray in faith. If you've never really learned the power of that, you could think, well, I can just kind of do my own thing. It's okay. I'll get by. But you have to understand, eventually everyone gets their back to the wall. The circumstance of life, let alone the sins of man, the sins of devils, or the work of devils. And there is a strengthening that takes place when believers join in faith together. Satan knows he needs to try to cut the cords of that any way that he can. So people think, well, I'm just being a good little Christian boy, and I don't want to make waves with the world or the government. So we'll just salute and bow. And since they're good guys, they'll let us come back together in 2 weeks. Well, that lie has already been spoken and done its time. It's already passed. See, there are some things in life you can't compromise. Okay. Pastor Bill, you sound like you have some passion about that. Yes, I do. That's why we're here. Well, he goes on and speaks of how the enemy, the wicked, you know, that they will be cut down. Verse 16 says, a little righteous man has it better than the riches of many wicked. Thank God for what you have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about what somebody else has. The arms of the wicked or their power shall be broken. The Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever, or it continues. It's always going to be available. We do not need to be concerned that there's going to be a shortage of peace in heaven. I mean, you might go in a grocery store and there's no toilet paper and there's no eggs and there's no milk, but there is peace on God's shelves. There's still peace. There's still joy. Like this next verse. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Or when the shelves are empty, God will provide for his people. And we need to have faith for that, lest we have fear of lack. Now, there's a lot of people thought they'd never see the day of lack in the United States. Well, such a day existed in the 1930s, the Great Depression. There was such a time. Why would one think that couldn't happen? Because we're Americans. I get really irritated when I hear news commentators say, we'll come through this because we're Americans. Oh, there's a power in that? No, it's because we trust God. We have a covenant with God. We believe the Lord's word. He will provide for us. He will give us strength, spirit, soul, and body. That's why we're coming through on the other side. And we can look at our nation and say there's been times of great strength of character and resolve in the people. But we have to understand it's because there was, in all likelihood, a majority who were trusting the Lord in the nation. And I don't know what the numbers would be today, but I don't think it's as great as it was in the past. And if people begin to think, like, well, it's because we're Americans, that is boasting in the flesh. That is a prideful thing. It's like the Tower of Babel. We'll build a tower to heaven. We're great. That's dangerous. And throughout history, when people begin to do that, it's not long till they fall. But for us as believers, in the days of famine, we'll be satisfied. The wicked will perish, the enemies of the Lord. He goes on. Verse 21 says, the righteous show mercy and give. I think it's a great testimony of the Word of God working in us, God in us, when in the midst of pressure, we'll still do the right thing. We'll still show mercy and give. You know, they say times of pressure bring out the best and the worst of humanity. I believe that's true. What's in you when you're squeezed real hard is going to come out. Squeeze the tube of toothpaste comes out. If the word's in you, the word will squeeze right out of you. The righteous, that's you and me, will show mercy and give. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him be cut off. Now again, there's verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord as he delights in his way. Or it's our joy to walk out this journey. Your life is a journey with an end point and a destination. For me, my destination is stand before the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's scripturally, that's my destiny. That's what I'm looking forward to. In the meantime, there's a journey, there's a work to do. And when the work's done, then it's time to go. Beam me up. As long as there's still work to do, I'm going to believe God for whatever it takes for me to do it. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's material, whether it's money, whether it's people helping, Believe God for that. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We do not need to have the fear of failure keeping us from doing something. Fear of failure holds a lot of people back from that desire or dream that was in their heart at one time. They're afraid, what happens if this happens or that? We need to step out and pursue the desire or the dream of the Lord that he would place within us. And there might be times, you're going to make mistakes. It's not reasonable to think you won't make any mistakes. That's just, again, a prideful thought. The fear of failure says, I can't make a mistake. That'll be the end. But the Lord will uphold you if you fall. He will lift you up like he did Peter, who stepped out on the word and stepped out on the waves whipping up, walking on water. He gets his eyes on the waves, begins to sink, cries out to the Lord. He was right there. The Lord reaches his hand down, just pulls him right up out of the water. We need to be thinking about things like this. Suppose for a moment, not 2019, you get this place, I'm starting a business. And you're pretty well jazzed about this, starting a business. And you begin to start that business. And 2020 rolls around. Depending on the type of business, you don't have any customers. They're not allowed in your store. Or you can't do the work. And a person could really begin to be afraid because you don't have a source of income. Now, they sort of soften the blow of that by saying, well, we'll give you a check for $1,200. Most people don't live off $1,200. What's that for, like a week? I mean, if someone's living off that for a month, you're doing pretty well. That's not that much money. But you see, the initial shock was softened with that. We just got ours in the mail yesterday. It's like, praise the Lord, we can use that. But you know, I can't plan on between here and 2021 on that. It's like, praise God, there was a gift like that. My point is that when you step out, things can change. There can be things come up in the way, and fear could begin to come into your heart. But none of it changes who he is. It doesn't change the promises. It does not change his word. We continue to stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Stand some more. Well, again, down here at verse 34. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, or keep the way, and he shall exalt thee, or lift you up to inherit the land. God has an inheritance for us. Wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord is the word kawa with a Q in Hebrew. And the root of that means like to tie, to make a cord. Or you take rope and you wrap it together, you intertwine it. It becomes much stronger. Ecclesiastes 4:12 speaks of our relationship together being like a cord. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. If you just have one strand of rope, it has a certain element of strength. But when you begin to wrap and weave strands together, it's much, much stronger. Wait upon the Lord, or may your life be intertwined, so intertwined with the Lord that you are strong in him. That's to wait upon him. Doesn't mean be a waiter and say, may I take your order? You want bacon or eggs, or bacon and eggs? No, it's your life being so intertwined with him. And as our spirit, soul, and body, our thoughts, our desires, it's all interwoven with the word of God. We are as a cord or a rope, and we are much stronger. If you try to go in your own ability, you'll be able to go to a certain point and you come to an end. Everybody does with their own ability. But when we're so, our whole life's committed to him, we're trusting in him, it's so interwoven with him, we'll inherit the earth. We'll partake our inheritance because we're just completely intertwined with the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Keep the way. Watch over it. Make sure you're still in the thing God has spoken to you to do. Don't get moved off of it. Don't get moved off His word. Don't lose the dream or the promise just because there's tough times, times of trouble, evildoers trying to steal from you. You know, sometimes when people hear the word dream used, like I'm using it, they think of some work. It's not just a work. You know, if you've lived under fear, it can be a dream just to have peace. If you felt loneliness, it can be just a dream to have a God-ordained deep relationship. So don't limit dreams to like some accomplishment. Yeah, it comes into play there. But there's other things we need to dream. Dream of the peace of God. Just joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy of the experiencing of the love of God on an ongoing daily basis. These are dreams we need to have because we're finding our pleasure in Him. And as you go along, there'll be things to do. We should never compare ourselves to others. Well, my dream's better than your dream, or your dreams, never do that. Just what's the Lord birthing in you? And as we know His love more, there'll be dreams that are love related. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about helping people. It's the love of God to be a blessing, to help people. Don't let it be stolen. Be intertwined with the Lord. Stay humble. Trust in Him. Continue to partake the inheritance. No matter how much of this noise is going on around us, the kingdom of God is still available. Love and peace and joy is still available to us. No matter what happens around us, we can still trust Him for supernatural provision. I think I'll just finish with this one story. I was in Ismail, Ukraine. It was on the border of Romania. And this was at least 10 years ago. And the pastor there, his name was Victor, and I preached in his church and fellowship with him. He was telling me the story of his father and mother back in the 1930s. His father was a pastor. The communists took over. That part of Ukraine was actually part of Romania back then. And they ended up killing his father because he was a pastor preaching the gospel. And his mother had five kids. And she didn't, and there was, you know, in the 30s, there was depression all over the world. And how is she going to feed her kids? They're starving. And the communists, when they took over that city, small city like York, they took over that city, they had a bakery there. And they found everybody was in survivor mode and they were stealing and so forth. And they had a problem. Their problem was, who can they trust to run the bakery and won't steal from them? So they're aware of this widow of the pastor and how he died to keep his faith and the integrity that they walked in, and they made her the one in charge of the bakery. Because in their mind, she's the only person we can trust. They killed her husband. They killed this Victor's father. So she's in charge of the bakery and has food to feed her children through those horrible, horrible times. And he was telling me how she had no idea, but she kept her faith. She kept trusting in the Lord. The Lord will provide. And she's telling this Victor, as he's a boy, and his siblings, God will provide. God will provide. And she gets exalted or lifted up to be the manager of the bakery. Oh, that just comes into my mind. Don't limit God to how He's going to do something. He's not limited to your job. He's not limited to the ways that man would think. He can bring you to a place where you're the one in charge, where you're the one who's helping other people. And she never let go of her faith. And she was raised up in that way because their life was so interwoven with the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Keep His way. He'll exalt you to inherit the land.